Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, once again, as we come to see what your inspired scripture has to say to us this day, keep our hearts open to your Holy Spirit's direction. Father, if it's man's words that influence us, that's only temporary. But through the Holy Spirit, the words come alive within us and guide us and direct us. Give us a sense of hope and a sense of peace, a sense of conviction. Lord, may we hear what you have to say today, because that's what's most important. May you guide and lead us now. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, a little boy decided to build his own toy sailboat, and he got wood and cut it proper way and put it together, and then he built a little sail to go with it, and he made the boat watertight and painted it. And then he decided it was time for the test. He took it out to a small lake, and there was a breeze started to blow, and the little sail caught wind of the breeze and started moving along the little rippling waves that were there. Suddenly, the little boy saw that the boat was getting out of reach, and he wades into the water to try to grab the boat before it gets too far, but the sailboat floated away. He hoped that the breeze would change, would turn the opposite direction and shift, and would sail the boat back to him, but instead he watched as his little sailboat went further and further away till it was gone. Well, he went home and he was crying, and his mother said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "I put all that effort into that little sailboat, and now it is lost." Well, isn't it true that in life sometimes it just doesn't go as we planned? Things just don't go the direction that we think it should. Sometimes the winds in life drive us off course. Sometimes we allow ourselves the wrong wind to drive us in this life. Well, this is week 6 in our series, Church on a Downward Slide, a series of learning the not-so-pleasant lessons that occurred in the Galatian church. Paul saw certain winds blowing in those churches in Galatia that concerned him and were moving them away from the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want us to look at the wind. What wind guides your life? We're in the 3rd chapter of Galatians this morning, beginning with verse 1. And Paul writes, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Paul starts this section by calling the Galatians foolish. They had been played the fool. When Paul asked them, "Who has bewitched you?" he knew the answer. He meant, "Who put a spell over you, Galatians?" Because he knew they were not seeing nor living out reality in their lives. The traditional, ritualistic Judaizers were the culprits. He knew who had bewitched them. And the Galatians foolishly listened to their bewitching gospel message of grace plus grace plus traditions, grace plus rituals. And the Galatians became enamored at the message they heard. It was like a spell that came over top of their lives, and they became like a moth drawn to a flame called my way. But that's how religions of the world grab people. If you only do these certain things, you have a chance at pleasing God. That's what they teach. Every religion outside of Christianity plays the card. How to please God with the things I do. And let's be honest, there's some Christians that play the same card. Do godly things my way, and you'll sail the right way. Well, it's as if we think we can make God move the winds for our sailboats called life like we want them to go. We act like God is under our thumb because I did all the right religious stuff. God, you owe me now. I did the right things, God, you owe me. And any time we try to force God's hand, we're acting foolish also. We're acting like we're bewitched. Paul gave the first of four questions that I want us to think about here this morning. He gave the first. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit in your life because you first followed all the traditions and rituals of law? Or did the Spirit enter your life because of faith? Paul knew the answer. He wanted them to think, though. He wanted them to realize what was going on. They heard a message of grace, grace alone. That was the first thing they heard. And they chose to follow Jesus Christ by faith in the grace of God. The Spirit enters their lives. Then the Judaizer showed up on the scene. Then their rituals came on the scene. And it wasn't their rituals that brought the Spirit into the lives of the Galatians. It was salvation by grace alone. First, I want us to see the wind of faith. Wind of faith. The word Spirit in Greek is the word pneuma. It means Spirit, but it also can be translated as breath or wind. Upon their faith, in the absolute grace of God, the wind of God, the Holy Spirit of God, entered their lives. He did not come because they deserved Him. He didn't come in their lives because they earned Him. He came because they had faith in the message of grace alone. The rituals of the Judaizers did not bring the wind or the Spirit in their lives. The wind for their sailboat called life came because of faith. Look at verse 3. Paul says, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? What's Paul saying in this next question? He's saying, did you begin this journey with the Holy Spirit? And now what you're doing is you're turning around and thinking that you can finish it in your own power, in your own strength. So the second thing I want you to see is the wind of change. Wind of change. The wind of God, the Holy Spirit, enters our lives, for one thing, to prove that we are God's. Scripture tells us that if the Spirit does not live within us, we are not God's. But He also comes in us to change us. To change us over a period of a lifetime. And where we are when we first become Christians, when the Spirit first enters our lives, where we are then and where we become over time should change, should be different. You cannot expect a brand new Christian to be mature in Christ. The Holy Spirit is just setting up shop in their lives. If someone came in off the street, They had never heard anything about Jesus Christ, the Word of God, whatsoever. And they came in here, and the Holy Spirit convicted them, and they accepted Christ. You cannot expect them to all of a sudden look like someone who's had Christ living in them for years. The Holy Spirit comes in to change us. The wind changes us. He enters to mature us in our faith. He enters to beat those nasty sin habits that we have in our life. He enters to help us grow closer to the Father. But too often we kind of act like the Galatians and we think, no, if I follow certain rituals, if I follow certain traditions, I'll grow closer to God. It's almost like it's a magic trick. If I do certain things, presto change-o, I'll become closer to God. Someone tells you that if you get up at 4 a.m. every morning and have a quiet time, that you will grow closer to God because it worked for them. It worked for them. Well, just suppose your personality type is that you're not a morning person. You give it a try, though, because it worked for them. You give it a try. You get up several mornings straight at 4 a.m. to have a quiet time. You force yourself to have a good quiet time. And what do you find out? You hate 4 a.m. But you feel guilty now. You feel guilty because so-and-so, it was effective for them. It worked for them. So it must mean it must work for you. No, it was their ritual. Now, I totally agree. Spending time with God on a daily basis each day is very important and a need. You know, there's a we have online giving here at church. And I've been in situations, I haven't talked to anybody here on this, it's been at previous church. But they are so upset about online giving because they said, the scripture says bring all your treasures into the storehouse. That means you must bring them on Sunday or they're not viable gifts. And I'm going, really? Isn't it about the heart? Isn't it about the heart of giving, not because you gave it during a certain 1 hour period each week? Let's be careful. Be careful that we don't turn our rituals into guilt trips for other people. Yes, I go back. Quiet times are a necessity in our lives. They help us to grow closer to the Lord. But the Spirit uses our studies. He uses our quiet times to create change within us. And it happens in different ways. For some people, quiet time is the best times at night. Before they go to bed. It's a great before they go to bed type of situation. As long as they're seeking God each day. Forced rituals make our life dependent upon self. Let the wind of change make a difference in you and sail you in the right direction. Look at verse 4. Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Well, what's that about? Early on, it appears the Galatian church felt the very tentacles of persecution from those outside the faith. Paul asked, was all that early suffering that you experienced for nothing when you entered into the time of grace alone? Were you strengthened during those days of persecution by rituals, or were you strengthened by the wind, the Holy Spirit? The strength you received, he said, was not in vain. It helped you to grow. So now let's look at the wind of strength. The wind of strength. The Holy Spirit, the holy wind brings strength in our lives. The fact that I stand before you this morning is by the power of the Holy Spirit and the strength he gives. My strength is not due to persecution. I'll admit that. I haven't felt the persecution that the Galatian churches felt. But the wind of strength comes in many ways. If you had asked me just 7 years ago just 7 years ago about standing in front of a congregation every single Sunday to preach, I would have told you, you're off your rocker. You're crazy. Because see, this isn't natural for me. I get easily embarrassed. I get butterflies in my stomach. I remember back in college, even in seminary class, I was petrified every time the professor would look at me to ask a question. Only God can change someone. Only God can make a difference. Only through the Holy Spirit, the wind of God, can strengthen a life in such a way and in the same manner. This is my constant prayer. I ask God every week, because of the change that He has occurred within my life, that He doesn't let me get big on myself and always put butterflies inside my stomach. Let them float around. An American British gentleman were viewing the Niagara Whirlpool Rapids. The American said to his friend, he said, "Come, I'll show you the greatest unused power in the world." And so he took him to the base of Niagara Falls. He said, there is the greatest unused power in the world. And the British gentleman said, "Oh no, my brother, that's not so. The greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God." Is His strong wind blowing in you and moving your sails in life? Verse 5 and 6. "Does He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness." Paul's final question involved the miraculous here, the works. Galatians, did the Spirit... did the Spirit that came through faith and the grace of God create miracles in your life? Or did the Judaizers' rituals create miracles in your life? As part of a transition here, Paul makes reference or a comparison of the Jews' forefather, Abraham. Abraham was made right before God, not because Abraham followed all these rituals. It was because he lived in faith. He believed God. I call this one the wind of patience. Patience. The Galatians saw miracles because the Spirit moved in their lives through grace alone. And we pray for miracles. We talked about it even this morning for our prayer time. Pastor Mike referred to it. We pray for miracles. We pray for changes to occur. And really, let's face it. At times, the easy part of our prayer about miracles is at the very beginning. When we first start praying, the difficult comes as we wait. As we wait upon the Holy Spirit and the wind, as we constantly pray, as we patiently wait and we say, "But God, not my will, your will." Do I know why God, in some cases, has some people cured and other people not cured? No, I have no idea. And that's part of the patience that we have as Christians. We don't know all the answers now. Patience may be a virtue, but only with the Holy Spirit can we wait. Can we wait without anxiety on those answers of God concerning His miracles? We need patience. Patience from the wind, from the Holy Spirit. No ritual will bring us a miracle. You can cross all the T's, you can dot all the I's of traditions and rituals, and none of them will bring a miracle. Only the Spirit of God will bring miracles that you and I need. Now, the next verses that we have here, Paul spends time discussing Abraham and his faith. And I'm only going to briefly hit this part because actually next Sunday we're going to go a little bit more detail into Abraham. But pick up with verse 7 here. It says, "Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.' So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.' Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them." Faith in God's grace alone wasn't something that just started when the pages of the New Testament opened up. It was already there. It was there shown in people like Abraham. Abraham, who lived by faith. Abraham revealed faith in his actions. In other words, he stepped out in faith. Abraham believed God when things seemed insurmountable. He trusted God when it just didn't seem like things could possibly happen. Oh, did Abraham mess up sometimes? Yeah. But so do we. But more than not, Abraham stepped out in faith and said yes to God. I believe. And because of that faith, Abraham was seen as righteous or made right before God. Abraham's walk of faith, when he walked on this earth, it was hundreds of years before God gave the law to Moses, 400 plus years before. Abraham found God's grace in faith before the law was even given. Faith brings us back in a relationship with God, and if we choose the wind of faith, it brings us back in relationship with Him. If we choose the wind of laws and rituals, we'll fall under the curse. The curse of where we'll be breaking the laws of God, where we're depending upon them, and they'll take us off in the wrong direction. Our sails will go the wrong way, and way too many church decisions, way too many church decisions are made on the wrong wind. We make decisions on rituals. We make decisions on traditions instead of allowing God's Spirit to guide our decisions. Look at our last two verses, verse 13. I'll get there. My pages are stuck. All right, I'll read them from up there. "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree,' so that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." The faith that Abraham illustrated became very, very clear through Jesus Christ. Abraham, yes, he sinned just like you and I sinned. He had the curse of sin on his life like you and me, and the curse of sin had to be dealt with. Sin must be punished. And Jesus took Abraham's curse of sin. Oh, Abraham didn't know it was Jesus at the time. He didn't know what it was all about. He only had a partial picture of faith and what it all meant. But he had faith in the Father, and because of that, his righteousness came by Jesus taking Abraham's curse. And see, today we got the whole picture. We see the whole picture now. Jesus is the one who took our curse. He became the curse on the cross. Oh, it had to be a perfect sacrifice. A lamb with no spots, no blemishes. And Jesus was spotless. He never sinned. If Jesus had sinned on this earth, he would not have been able to become our curse. His sinlessness, though, meant he could become our sin, our curse on the cross. Jesus was cursed for Abraham. Jesus was cursed for you and me. Was Jesus' curse so that we could be ritualistic traditionalists? No, that was the Judaizers. That was what Paul was proclaiming as wrong throughout this letter. And when we battle over rituals, we're reliving the first century difficulties in the church. Jesus was cursed so that we, like Abraham, would have faith in God's grace alone, which leads to our last wind, the wind of promise. Listen again to that last verse. It said, so that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee of salvation, as I said. If the Holy Spirit does not live in us, we are not God's. We are promised that His mighty wind blows into our lives when we decide to follow Jesus, when we commit our faith for what He has done. Jesus Himself promised the Spirit coming. He promised that He would come because God knows we cannot live for Him based on our own self, based on our rituals, but on the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. So the question is the Holy Spirit, is the Father's mighty wind in charge of you? Or is it rituals, traditions, and the law that's in charge of you? Evangelist Dwight L. Moody was to have a revival campaign in England. An elderly British pastor protested, though. He said, why do we need this Mr. Moody? He's inexperienced. He's uneducated. Who does he think he is anyway? Does he think he has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? Another pastor said, no, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Mr. Moody. Who has a monopoly on you? Remember our young boy with his runaway sailboat? Well, sometime later, he was downtown and he walked by a secondhand store. And to his amazement, there in the window was his sailboat. He went in and he said to the owner, he said, that's my boat. And he walked over and he walked over to the window and he picked up and he started to leave the store with the boat in hand. And the owner said, hold on there, sonny. That's my boat. I bought it from someone. Boy said, no, it's my boat. I made it, see? And he turned it over and he had scratched his initials on the bottom of it when he made it. He showed him those initials, but the man said, sorry, son, if you want it, you have to buy it. Well, the little guy didn't have any money. He went home, sad, but he went home and he worked. He worked and he saved his money till one day he had enough. And he went back to the store and the boat was still there. And he paid for that boat. And as he left the store, holding that boat, clutching it close to him, you could hear him say, you're my boat. You're twice my boat. First, you were my boat because I made you. Second, you're my boat because I bought you. Well, the winds changed for that young boy with his boat. That boat blew back into his life at a cost. God made you and me. We are His creation. And too many follow the winds of this world. And sadly, those winds can look awfully religious at times. And we fall into a trap. A trap of worshiping our traditions and rituals more than worshiping God Himself. And here's a danger that I've thought about as I've walked through this series. I think most of us will not recognize our traditions and rituals as traditions and rituals because they're ours. And the wind of rituals and traditions will blow us from God. But God paid a large price for you and me. He bought you back. He bought you back with the curse placed upon Jesus. And now the wind is blowing. The Holy Spirit guides us to come to Jesus, to accept the gift of grace by His sacrifice. He is the wind of promise. He is the wind of faith. He is the wind that brings change in our lives. He is the wind of strength and patience. The Spirit of God in Jesus Christ says, I created you. You sailed away. But I bought you back. I paid your penalty. You cannot earn your forgiveness. It is a gift. But you must have faith. Step out today. Stop living man's way by forcing rituals and traditions on yourself and on others. Because that's what the Judaizers did. So it leads to final questions. Is there a man-made ritual or tradition in this church that you would become upset with if it stopped or changed? The overwhelming majority of our rituals and traditions are man-made. Actually, we only have two in Scripture, Lord's Supper and baptism. And do you realize that the Scripture doesn't even give us a definite way of doing those? Oh yeah, baptism is supposed to be immersed, but it's only the church who decided that baptism had to be done by a pastor. Why couldn't it be done by a deacon? Why couldn't a father baptize their child? Don't you realize what that would mean to that family? How about a husband baptizing his wife? Do you imagine the spiritual influence that would have in a family's life? Lord's Supper, we're just told to take the cup and the bread. We're not told that it has to be done in a certain way. We've even taken the traditions of Lord's Supper and baptism and made them our rituals. But let's go back to other man-made rituals and traditions. If changing those rituals and traditions meant doors open up for potential new believers, would you give up those rituals and traditions? If not, what's happened? The wind has blown an inward focus in your life. And life has become about you and not about reaching those outside. And that's not God's Spirit at work. Live by grace alone. Raise your sails up for Jesus Christ and let the Holy Spirit, the wind, empower you. And then what happens is we take our eyes off of self and we start looking outward. And that's the Spirit of God blowing in our lives. Maybe this morning you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart. He created you. He created you. And then He went and He bought you back. But you have to accept Him in faith. He's got His initials scratched on you somewhere, waiting for you to say, I want you in my life, Jesus Christ. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want you to begin the process of changing me because I believe that you are the Son of God and I commit my life unto you now. And if you're in that this morning, in that stage this morning, come and let us pray with you. If you want to know more information, we'll be glad to talk to you about it afterward. Make that step of faith. Or maybe this morning it's, Lord, help the Spirit's wind make me become an outward-focused person and not an inward-focused person. That God will be glorified in it. Maybe you've just been visiting for a long time now and you haven't made this your home, and you need to move your membership here, maybe you've moved from another area or something. We're beginning something new and fresh here. I think God begins something new and fresh in us every single day, and you can be a part of that new beginning. Be open to God's calling. Pastor Mike and I will be up here in front to pray with you, to see what your needs are. And maybe it's just you just need to come up front and bow at the altar and pray. That's fine too. Be open to God's calling. Let's go to Him now. Lord, watch and keep us now. We pray that Your will be done, most important right now at this time. That You will be glorified, You will be honored. And Father, we will stop fighting Your Holy Spirit. And instead, Lord, we will be open to the Holy Spirit's direction and calling within us to guide us to new heights of how You would have us to live. Lord, it doesn't matter what the politicians say. It doesn't matter whatsoever, because our life is about You, not about what they say. Oh, Lord, open up our hearts now to Your calling. May Your will be done. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing together.